Welcome to the podcast. It's Pat and Stu today for Glenn, who's out with the coronavirus.
Just a 24-hour coronavirus,
yes.
Though, I think.
Well, he took a Japanese cruise to Cambodia.
Yeah.
And then he stopped in Wuhan. And all those things are apparently things you're not supposed to be doing right now.
Wow.
So he'll be back on tomorrow's program. But for today, we have a lot to go through, including the President's Day. What? We start the show with a review of President's Day that is very strange, I will say. But we do get through some of the real facts about our former leaders here in the United States. Also, Michael Bloomberg, all the rest of the stuff. There's so much opposition research dropping on Bloomberg right now. We go through a bunch of that. Joe Biden explains why Obama put kids in cages. You're not going to want to miss that explanation. It's pretty solid.
Well, they had to. Basically, that's what it is.
That's basically what it is.
They had to.
Yeah, I mean, they gave away the whole show.
Sorry.
And the new transgendered trend where males are dominating. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Trans women
Thank you.
Traditional women, like the ones that were born that we thought were girls,
yeah.
They're losing a lot of races now.
They were assigned female at birth.
Thank you. That's much better than what I came up with.
It is much.
That's all coming up today on the program. And I want to remind you, when you're here, you're in a podcast app already. What a smart thing it would be to go over and click on Stu Does America and subscribe there, rate and review that podcast. And then go over to Pat Gray Unleashed and rate and review and subscribe there as well. Always a good decision and will make your life more fruitful than it is today.
Oh, you'll be happy and you'll be rich. Eventually. I mean, I don't know when, but...
Yeah, not because of this.
No.
Unrelated to
subscribing.
But
someday you'll be rich.
But you'll
if
probably
you work
be rich.
Really hard and apply yourself.
Or you'll die before that happens. One of the two. So check it out all on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
With Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. Happy President's Day. Not just any, I mean, well, yeah, just any president. It's not not a specific president anymore, right? It used to be Washington and Lincoln had their separate days. Then they were combined. Then it was like, nah, this is just for all presidents. Okay.
Yeah, I generally only support William Henry Harrison today.
Really?
That's kind of where the direction I like to go.
Yeah.
I'll throw in a little Tyler at times,
uh-huh.
You know, just to mix it up.
Okay.
But those are the only presidents I actually support on President's Day.
Huh. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, if it was a specific president, then maybe I would think about them on this day. But it's not. It's just presidents in general, which, you know, a lot of them sucked. So I don't know why they would be honored on a day like today.
Yeah.
But they are.
Are you a big James Buchanan fan,
huge Buchanan guy.
Buchanan, yeah.
Huge Buchanan guy.
Widely considered the worst president of all time.
Kind of is, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is saying something.
Yeah, it is. Because there's been some really bad ones.
Really bad ones. Woodrow Wilson comes to mind.
Oh, my. Lyndon Johnson comes to mind.
Thank you for mentioning him in this.
Yes, he's awful.
He, for some reason...
He gets a pass.
Gets a pass on this.
Is it because he didn't run for a second term? Well, he had that half, that 1 year that where he took over for Kennedy. Then he won an election. And then he decided not to run for a second term. So a second full term. And maybe it's that got him off. I don't know. That got him out of everybody thinking he was so bad because it was only, 5 years?
I mean, if he ran for a re-election and won, we'd have to come up with new numbers to describe the debt that we have. Because right now,
that's
we're going
sure.
trillion. We kind of know quadrillion's next. After that, who knows? I don't think it's possible to know. Just like the metric system. It's not possible to know what's next.
Yeah, it's nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But when we get there, we would get there with Lyndon Johnson and another
quadrillion?
Term.
Oh, yeah, easy. Oh,
easy.
Easy.
I think we get to the next one. I mean, I would say it's quintillion, but who even knows until you get there?
Yeah.
You don't know until you're on the doorstep of quintillion. So. What if it is quintillion or quadrillion or what it is. But, I mean... There's a meme that goes around on social media, which I just love, and it shows these political buttons from long time ago, from Social Security time and Medicare time, and it's like remember 50 and 75 years ago when Republicans were telling us socialism was going to destroy our country. I don't either. Did it happen? No. And it's like, well, you guys do realize.
We're $23 trillion in debt.
Yeah, with $100 trillion in long-term liabilities. And almost all of it are the two programs you're sitting here defending.
Yes.
Almost all of it.
That the Republicans were saying is socialism because it is.
It
might be popular socialism, but it's socialism nonetheless. Nobody wants to eliminate it now. Everybody's afraid, scared to death to even say anything about it. Mm-hmm. But Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid have bankrupted this country. And we're like, oh, I love it. Keep the state out of my Medicare. Even Republicans will say that.
Oh, yeah. There is no opposition party for this.
No,
the Democrats want it bigger. Trump and all the Republicans say they're not going to do anything to screw with it. It is exactly.
They're afraid of it.
They're afraid of it.
Because it is popular now. Because once you've been given stuff, you're going to want to keep taking it.
Yeah.
There's no going back on that. You can't turn back on that.
And there is a legitimate argument from people who have been paying into the system for a long time and wish to receive it. I understand that. Yeah,
like us, we've paid into the system for a really long time.
Yeah, though no plan that looks to adjust it would change that. Like if you are going to get Medicare soon, there's no plan that's under proposal that would
change that for any of these people.
Right.
Like, right.
It's only people who would be coming up in the system later.
Remember when George W. Bush wanted to reform it?
Yeah.
And it was like, if you want to keep your current system, this won't touch anybody who's already got benefits. And he would say that all the time.
No one cares.
Nobody cared. It was like, you're going to take away my Social Security? No, he specifically said he's not.
And by the way, he was offering something that would be that for every person
would have been much
that
better
has ever existed in the country would do much. You do much better under proposed system. And including after the 2008 collapse, all of that stuff, you'd still do much, much better under the proposal that was given by George W. Bush at that time.
Yeah.
However, everyone was scared of it, so we didn't do it. So now everyone gets less. And we all cheer it because at least we could depend on less.
Yeah.
It is a bizarre thing.
Crazy.
It's this weird denial where everyone looks at these programs as if they're positive things.
Mm-hmm.
They are clearly destroying the future of our country when it comes to debt. There's no doubt about it. Every single estimate looking forward says the same thing, that this is going to grow from where it is now at $23 trillion in debt and will continue to increase. And then not only will it be these programs that are wiping us out, but it will also be the payments on the debt on the past years of that program that will wind up being 30, 40, 50% of our budget every year. That is not a sustainable situation. However, it's popular, and so people go on the internet and they post these things as if they're brilliant geniuses. And does anybody ever put a minute of thought into what they're actually posting? I don't think so.
Do you see that story that said by 2030 we're going to be at 180% of GDP in our debt? Our debt will be 180% of GDP.
It's not positive.
It's unsustainable. So if we don't stop that trend by then, it's going to be a disaster.
And this is why we shouldn't have President's Day. We're going to honor people that have put us $180 right. trillion in debt.
Come on. That's not good.
That's not right.
All right. Let's pause 60 seconds, and we'll be right back on the Glenn Beck Program. Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program, 888-727-BECK. This is great. The Iowa caucus was a total debacle for the Democrats. I mean, they botched it so badly. I mean, yeah, even they admit that.
Not just because all of the candidates sucked.
Right.
Because that was a disaster. That was we knew that disaster going in, though. This is the secondary disaster in which they couldn't count the votes.
Amazing.
Did you see this report in the New York Times, by the way, that went over all the ways they made mistakes?
No.
It is incredible, because for all the beating the New York Times takes, 99.9% of it very well deserved. They're really good at this type of thing, which is looking at an inane amount of depth to cover these really intricate things like this.
Yeah.
And so they go through and just list how, like, you know, the way the system works is you have to get 15% of the vote to have any chance to be viable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you go in there and a lot of candidates have 10% of the vote, and so they're not viable, and those people can go to another candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the first count of votes is, has to be the lowest amount of votes in total, right? Mm-hmm. People can't come in after that, that first vote. So they look and they have like 100 different places where there's like 5,000 votes in the first vote, and then there's 6,000 in the second. Well, no one was allowed to join after the first vote. You couldn't come in and do it again. And there's mistakes like that all over the place, and they have it all documented. Sometimes it's like,
it's like they've done this for just the first time.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Well, and the rules are so complicated, Pat. I actually understand how it got screwed up. There are things like...
Hasn't it always been, though? Why don't they have this down yet?
I don't know. They did change a lot of the rules. Because
they changed some of them.
Bernie people came in after last time, and they were pissed about it last time. They thought they should have won Iowa last time. They lost in a very close election to Hillary, went on to blow Hillary out in New Hampshire, and they think if they would have won both of those states, maybe they get the nomination.
It would have changed the 3 million people who voted, or 4 million people who voted against him.
Yeah. Okay. There was a huge gap there. People were like, he got the election taken from him. Really, he lost. I mean, be honest about it.
Yeah,
like,
he got his butt kicked.
With Bernie Sanders, what you have is about 25% of people who actually like Bernie in that primary.
Yeah.
Another 15% who just didn't like Hillary, which gets him to 40, does not get him to 50. Like, Hillary still won 60% of the vote in the primary overall. But this is their complaint. This was their big complaint. So that's why they had the popular vote released this time for the first time. And they had the secondary popular vote, which Bernie won on both counts. Buttigieg still wins with the statewide delegate equivalents. But the statewide delegate equivalent, obviously it's a ridiculous idea. Yeah. Just count the stupid votes, right? And again, I understand that like this is what the left says about the Electoral College. It's a totally different situation. In a primary like this, it makes a lot of sense to just do the popular vote. So they look at this and they would come down and two people would tie for the amount of delegates that they were supposed to have. So there'd be one delegate outstanding. Let's say they had five and they were supposed to tie. They can't split the delegates. So instead of it being 2.5 versus 2.5, which might make some sense if you tie, right? Mm-hmm. They have to award the one delegate to one of the two candidates. So it has to be 3-2, even if they tie, which makes no sense.
Weird.
So this is why you saw the coin flipping going on. Legitimately flipping coins.
Which was ridiculous. Why are you flipping why are you doing a coin toss in a political matchup like that?
It's ridiculous.
Is that democracy?
I guess so. This is what democracy looks like, as they used to chant all the time.
Oh, man.
So in other times, there would be like, they would have to round the vote percentages off, and they would round them incorrectly. So then there'd be extra delegates. They only had seven to give away, and they gave away eight. Like, this is happening all over the state.
Unreal.
And, you know, so this is a complete disaster. And the app was a big part of it, because the app was supposed to do a lot of these calculations for the people.
So how much of this was because they had new rules? Was all of it?
Some of it. What they were describing, you know, the app was supposed to do it all. Obviously, the app didn't work. So then they had a long handbook that would describe what to do in all of these really intricate situations. So if you have a tie, if you have too many delegates, too few delegates, if the rounding leads to both people getting a delegate when only one of them is supposed to, blah, 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 all these complicated situations, a long handbook that they admit themselves did not actually cover all of the possibilities.
Why don't you just go to a primary?
It's ridiculous.
Just let people come in and vote for their favorite candidate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
make it easy. You know,
why?
They're doing this thing in, and I actually think this is a really good thing for all voting, but they're doing this thing in Nevada this time with basically what is essentially ranked choice voting.
And didn't they have the same system, though? They had the same app.
So they had the same app initially. Now they've changed this,
oh, okay,
Pat. So now they have a new app that is coming on party-controlled iPads. So the party comes and gives you the iPad with the new app on it that they've never used.
Oh, good.
Now, considering they were using a different app 2 weeks ago, what could possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong?
So they're going to try to do this. And now they also have here early state voting. So how do you do that with a caucus? You're supposed to all go into a room and then everyone gets in their dumb groups, right?
Yeah.
So in Nevada, they're having early voting where they're doing basically a ranked choice voting. So it's like, my number one choice is Tulsi Gabbard. My number two is Tom Steyer. My number three is Joe Biden, right? So if Steyer and Gabbard are not viable at 15%, your votes will go to Biden. You know, you can rank them like that, which I think is a smart thing for all voting, actually. Because then you'd be able to... It wouldn't seem like you're throwing your vote away on a third-party candidate if you think you want to go out for the whatever the Libertarian in a particular race.
And they're not going to win.
They're not going to win.
You go to your second choice.
You go to your second choice, which would be the Republican, let's say.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a lot of sense,
it does.
Frankly. So they're going to do some of that.
Like you said, people couldn't tell you, it's a binary choice. You're throwing your vote away.
Yeah, and I get that argument, but you wind up with a two-party system till the end of time with two terrible parties with that idea.
And that's where we are.
And that's where we are because of it, right? So they've started doing that. They did it in Maine. They've been trying to roll this out across the country, which, you know, so far they've got, I think, one or two areas that do it. But I do think it's a good long-term solution because you should be able to do that, right? Like, if I want to say, you know what? The Constitution Party is really the party I really like. But obviously, they're going to get 0.1%, so I'd rather go with the Republican Party. Or, you know what? You could be like, hey, I really want to vote for the Socialist Workers Party, but they're really not going to win, so if I don't get that, then I can have the Democrat. And that would make sense. It would also inform people of, you know, well, what are the flavors here, right? Like, you have different flavors to choose from. You can pick what's the actual... Maybe there is an appetite for socialism. Who knows? We're seeing it right now. Who knew? I know the Democrats didn't seem to think this. They used to say the era of big government is over. They used to not co-sponsor Medicare for All.
Right.
Now they all think socialism's the way to go.
Well, when Obamacare was proposed, we were told, we're not going to go to single payer. That's nothing like what we're talking about.
No. Wasn't it the lie of the year one year?
I think it was
from PolitiFact saying that if you think that single payer is part of this, that you're nuts. Well, of course, it's the long-term plan, clearly.
And the architect of... Obamacare said so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not a Trojan horse, is it? It's just right there.
I'm telling you,
we're going to single payer. Well, that happened a lot sooner, I think, than anybody imagined it could. Because what are we, 8 years later, they start saying, I'm for universal single payer health care.
It's incredible.
And they all are.
They're all running against Obamacare.
Virtually all of them.
They're all saying, you know what sucks? Obamacare. And that's why we need Medicare for All. Or, even the thing that, you know, probably the most friendly to Obamacare has been Biden. Obviously, he was in a big role in trying to pass that. But even he says, we need to fix this because of X, Y, and Z. You know, we need a public option. We need to massively expand what we did then.
Why?
They're
I
all
thought
saying
it was
what
perfect.
They did then didn't work.
Yeah.
But you told us this was the solution. And
right.
Here you are running against it.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Michael Bloomberg had a quite a busy weekend. Actually, I'm not positive where he first began singing and dancing. I'm not sure when that occurred. But the video of the singing and dancing from Michael Bloomberg just started springing up on the internet. And
Pat, you know, he was in a musical.
Yeah.
And see,
yes,
New York City, one way of abbreviating that would be NYC. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to be super duper clever, you might recognize that the C, that stands for city, could also
stand for... The Sea.
The Sea, S-E-A. So if you were to do an underwater musical called NYC,
why
it would
then
be a very good move for the rest of your life.
Wouldn't it?
It would. And Michael is finding that out.
And I want my next president to be good in a Broadway musical.
Me too. That's the main thing I'm looking for.
And I think this goes beyond good. I mean, he's great in this. Watch in Michael Bloomberg in a fish outfit.
In NYC. No, that's not him.
Right on the ferry, use the library.
But he's arm in arm with, I guess, the lobster.
He's sort of dancing, but not
sort of.
No barracuda, not like Bermuda in NYC.
Okay, then they get a little dance scene. The guy, lobster, walks away. Now turns back to the fish, and here comes Mike.
turtles.
Up there we got big bed bugs.
Big bed bugs.
Down here the
waves
making trouble.
Up there A-Rod's taking drugs.
New Yorkers the bravest people.
Okay.
The cops on the beat they care.
It's true, firefighters, teachers. We got heroes everywhere.
Oh my God. Oh man, that's painful. That's painfully bad.
Not only should Michael Bloomberg's campaign be over, we should shut down Broadway over that.
If that happened on Broadway, yes. Yes.
Because you can hear the guy who's the lobster guy who's singing, like, can, you know, he can sing, I guess, and you can tell he's very Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
The Bloomberg part of it is so bad. He's like way off time and off key and can't sing, but he doesn't even know what time to come in.
Right. He has no idea.
He's trying to be funny with an A-Rod drug joke. It's so bad.
And then there's this. Is this the same play just later on, or is this a separate Broadway musical?
I think that it's the same play.
I think it's the same play. Mm-hmm. Later in the play, he's not a fish anymore. Now he's like a Mary Poppins character, and he's got an umbrella. And watch what happens here.
Maybe this is a different
I'll
play.
I'll tell you where I'm going.
Ugh.
Wow, that's...
First, Iowa, then New Hampshire. Maybe I can get the whole country to behave.
And he's lifted up and he floats away. With everybody waving goodbye to him. That's great.
That'd be fun to eventually be in that point where we can wave goodbye to him.
Yes. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. It's so cringeworthy. Why do the politicians do this?
I don't know. I really don't know.
They think that, like, this is going to make me relatable. I think if I do this, people will think I'm funny, and then it'll be okay. They'll love it. At the end of the day, they'll just remember me as the guy who just has fun with things. They're just the guy who just wants to jump in.
I don't take myself too seriously.
I don't. Look, I'm in a play with a lobster. How can I possibly take myself seriously?
I'm not afraid to be arm-in-arm with a man. That shows you how inclusive I am.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Inclusive is what I am.
Mr. Inclusive.
And they try to do these things. And look, every politician has participated in nonsense like this at one time or another. You go back to what was the clip with Trump and Giuliani? Were they both dressed as women? There's just, all of these things are just so ridiculous and they exist for everybody. It's never a good call, though.
No.
There's never a moment where you're like, you know what? That worked out well.
Is there nobody around you that says, Mike, no, this isn't a good idea. Don't do this.
Don't do this. Don't do this to yourself. You're a billionaire, Mike. You're the type of person who can buy your way out of situations like this.
All right.
Just don't do it.
Is everybody around him a yes man? It must be. It must be
right?
Nobody warned him off it. Nobody warned him off this particular discussion either, where he is talking about death panels. This is a little different setting. He's not on Broadway in this particular instance.
No, are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure this is
him where he's denying health care to the elderly.
Yeah.
It's always good. Listen.
All of these costs keep going up. Nobody wants to pay any more money. And at the rate we're going, healthcare is going to bankrupt us. So not only do we have a problem, it's going to bankrupt us. And we've got to sit here and say which things we're going to do and which things we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to do that. You know, you show up with prostate cancer. You're 95 years old.
95.
You should say, go and enjoy. Have an ice cream. Lead a long life.
Go home and die.
Cancer.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything.
Yeah.
If you're a young person, we should do something about it.
If you're young.
Society's not willing to do that yet.
Huh. Yeah, so if you're old, we're going to tell you, go have fun. Enjoy yourself while
enjoy
you die.
Your rectal cancer. You're going to love it.
It's going to be great. It really will.
Basically a giant party for you is what it is. Have a great time with
you
it.
You may have heard bad things about it, but don't believe any of that.
No.
Just go home and have fun, and then you'll be dead. And we won't have to worry about you.
It's prostate cancer. It's a joy. And you should really, you should uniquely, it's uniquely wonderful.
That doesn't seem that great to me.
No, it doesn't.
But,
there's a,
wow.
This is a very standard argument by many, not even just the left, where the idea is, yeah, you're too old, you don't deserve the care. I don't tend to ascribe to that. It seems like a bad idea to do this.
It's the culture of death in the Democrat Party. And they don't care.
This is only true if you have left-wing healthcare ideas that are implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, then you have to ration. You can't give people the care that they need. You have to come up with some line where you say, all right, well, how about old people? They don't get it. Or how about, go back in history, you'd find other examples. They would say this color doesn't get it, or this sexual preference doesn't get it, or whatever it is.
Or this able-bodied person isn't as able-bodied as other people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they can go off and die too and enjoy it. Enjoy that.
This is not a Michael Bloomberg thing. This is a progressive
psycho
thing. Mm-hmm. This is, we can't afford to.
It goes back to eugenics, really.
Yeah. It's survival of the fittest.
Right.
Right. They somehow try to make that, that's a Republican thing. This social Darwinism. That's a Republican thing. It's like, is it really?
No.
They're the ones who are applying it all the time. Conservatives like merit. And if you want to say merit is social Darwinism, sure, you can say that if you want. It's not real. It's not true. But you can say it. This is a situation where you don't even get the chance.
Right.
You're 95 years old. You have a certain kind of cancer. No treatment.
Sorry.
Why? Well, you know, it's true when you make private health care illegal.
And where is
that cutoff?
You can
say all sorts of things like that.
By the way, where is that cutoff with you're too old? Is it 70? Is it 75? Is it 80?
It's whatever age Michael Bloomberg is, right? It's a 1 year, 1 day older than him. Everyone can die.
That's for sure.
But he gets to do whatever he needs to do.
All right. He had even more to say this weekend. It was a busy one for him. We'll get to that in 60 seconds. Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Talking about Michael Bloomberg and the weekend he had. The wonderful weekend. He was talking about farming. This is amazing, too. If this guy isn't one of the biggest elitists you have ever seen, and what I think he believes is that he's so far above the rest of us, he's so much better than we are, that he just believes he can pontificate on whatever topic and just make people understand what the real deal is. Like, you don't understand that you can't drink more than 16 ounces of a soft drink. I need to legislate that for you because I'm way above you. You don't need salt, and I'm going to ban that for you so that you don't kill yourself. Even the poor need to be taxed more so they have less money to buy food because they buy food and eat food that isn't good for them. Wow. Okay. And now we find out some of his thoughts on farmers and farming.
Anybody, even people in this room, so no offense intended, to be a farmer. It's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn. Then we had 300, you could learn that. Then you have 300 years of the industrial society. You put the piece of metal on the lathe, you turn the crank and the direction of the arrow, and you can have a job. And we created a lot of jobs.
Sure.
1.98% of the world worked in agriculture. Today, it's 2% in the United States. Now comes the information economy. And the information economy is fundamentally different because it's built around replacing people with technology. Mm-hmm. And the skill sets that you have to learn are how to think and analyze.
Oh, I see.
And that is a whole degree level different. You have to have a different skill set. You have to have a lot more gray matter.
You've got to be smarter. You have to have gray matter. It's just, you have to be smarter than farmers and people who work in factories.
Farmers. Yuck.
I scrape them off my shoe I do with farmers.
Oh,
I scrape them right off my shoe.
Disgusting. Yeah. They're disgusting people who feed us. You know,
so easy. You put a seed into the ground, you put some dirt on it, and you water it. Up comes corn.
Well, is there anything to it? I don't know. I don't know what it is.
There's nothing to it.
You know, you put a little dirt on there, you put a little water on there, and what pops up? I mean, every fruit and vegetable you could ever want.
Yes.
Enough to feed the world.
Right.
You know, one of the reasons why 98% of people used to be in agriculture and only 2% are is because the people doing it are so good at it. Right?
Right.
Yes, you can plant a garden out in front of your house. I know, you know, a lot
by
of people.
By the way, it's
that.
Dang hard to get hard anything to
do.
Work
right, that's
in
why.
Your garden.
Too. Now we're talking about yield percentages and how you can get the maximum amount of crops out of a very small amount of area. And these, the technology is applied there. I mean, you've got tractors or GPSs that are running by themselves. And they're, I mean, this is incredible technology. You have to be brilliant to get anything to happen. I couldn't get a freaking thing to come out of the ground if my life depended on it.
Nope.
Like unless someone drops the thing at the grocery store on the ground, it's the only time I'm getting food off of the ground. That's it. I have no hope. If it's out of the produce aisle, it doesn't come into my home.
But does his elitism show here or what? I mean, farmers are stupid.
Yeah.
Factory workers are stupid. To do things like I do, you got to be smart.
Oh, yeah.
And of course I am. And that's why I'm going to be president and tell you what to do.
The information economy is where all the smart people are. I mean, you know, look, sure, farmers can feed the world, but can they get someone to tweet a cat video? And the answer
probably
to that is
not.
No. The answer to that
probably
is no.
Not. Yeah.
Pathetic.
Exactly.
These people can't even tweet a meme. They
pathetic.
Can't do it. Sure, they can give you thousands of varieties of fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
They can give you all the meat that you need.
Right.
They can give you all
But can they screw up an election in Iowa?
No.
No.
They can't do it.
They can't.
They can't do it. If they ran it, it probably would work, those losers. It's really incredible to see it in action. And this is him all the time.
Right.
And we keep saying he had a bad weekend. He didn't have a bad weekend. None of these things happened this weekend. These things have all happened in the past, and it's just the very beginning.
They're just coming to light now?
Yeah, it's the very beginning of the opposition research that's coming on Bloomberg, because they're starting to take him seriously. I mean, he's showing up at 15 and 18% in some of these national polls. He's leading in some of these Super Tuesday states.
I think Florida is one of them.
Yeah. I mean, he has put himself in a position to have a shot at winning. And people like to say, he's buying the election. No person is forced to vote for him, nor is he paying anybody individually. He's running ads saying, this is what I believe, this is who I am, and people can either choose to believe it or not. Tom Steyer is also spending a lot of money, and no one's voting for him outside of two states. You know, this idea that you can buy an election is ridiculous. What you can do, though, is get yourself hurt. You know, it's like the idea of the New York Yankees, where the Yankees can spend $1 zillion every single year and make themselves, at least give themselves a chance to compete. It's been a long time since they won a World Series, though. Was it 96? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Been a long freaking time.
Might be around 96.
Yeah. And so it doesn't mean you automatically can buy an election, but you can at least get your voice heard. You can at least be considered.
Also, something else that popped up apparently in the opposition research. In 1990, the employees compiled a nice little booklet containing a lot of Michael Bloomberg's quotes. No doubt Stu just pissed off every Yankee fan
quick correction.
On the planet.
Minor correction here. I forgot about a few World Series. And honestly, they should all be deleted from history. The Yankees won them. But 2009, they did win the World Series, which I had forgotten about against the Phillies.
Okay, so just 1996 and 2009.
And then they did win three consecutively between 1998 and 2000. But all those sucked. So
you're saying 96... Yeah. Mm-hmm. 98, 99, 2000, and then 2009.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to give myself a little bit of a break here, I remember the 1996 grouping. I knew they won.
Okay.
I thought 96 was the last year, but it was actually the first year. Yeah. Well, they hadn't won for a very long time before that. And then they came back and started winning World Series. And I was thinking 96 was the end. It was actually the beginning. So they won those four within like 5 years. And then I did totally forget about 2009, though. And look, it should be removed from. I don't know what cheating scandal they actually were involved in that
one.
Year, but you know. Well, you know actually, we do know. It was A-Rod.
Well, yeah.
We actually do know what cheating scandal they were involved in, and it was significant. So
steroids.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. In 1990, employees at Bloomberg LP gave their boss, this is beautiful, presidential candidate, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, a booklet containing notable quotes they said were attributed to him over the years as a gag birthday gift. So this was obviously something that didn't hack him off. This was something he was probably fairly proud of. The booklet was called The Portable Bloomberg, The Wit and Wisdom of Michael Bloomberg. And it's a compendium of sexist, crude, and off-color remarks that Bloomberg employees heard him make, including, if women wanted to be appreciated for their brains, they'd go to the library instead of Bloomingdale's.
Mm.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. That's nice. That's how you win friends and influence people, especially women.
Yeah, the problem with going through this list is we really can't,
say a lot of these things.
But they're very, very offensive.
On computers, he had some pretty sexual, interesting things to say that are sexist. Well, on many topics, marriage, capitalism, salesmanship, and all of it really unrepeatable on the radio. But this guy is just he's a buffoon and he's a sexist pig.
His denial is fantastic on this one, though, because they gave this, his employees, as a loving gift, said, hey, look, you remember all those sexist jokes you made? They're hilarious.
This is all funny. Happy birthday.
Here's your wit and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he, at the time, was, it was great. Now he's saying he denies the things that he said or were attributed to him in this document. However, he has said things that are against his values. Now, we're not going to tell you what those things are. We're just going to tell you that they're not the things in this book.
Mm.
Now, he did say the things very similar that were in this book, but not those exact things. Kind of like he said them. Sure, he said the exact things that were in the book, but the things that were in the book were not the things he said.
No. Right.
Not at all. And he does not have those values or the values prescribed to him in that sort of book.
And of course, he's got to skirt it like this because he's got, you know, 1,000 witnesses. The employees themselves who put all this together and then gave it to him, and everybody saw all of that. Pretty hard to deny.
This is, a lot of these are older. I mean, he said to a reporter within the last few years, you know, as a woman walked by in a tight dress, look at the, he didn't say butt, but look at the butt on her, like he's in Dumb and Dumber. And it said it in front of a reporter, and they're like,
dude,
in the middle of a profile. And then, of course, he just comes out later and denies it, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what he does. But this is going to be a huge problem for him, obviously.
And it's just beginning.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast. Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks.
I'm wondering, is there now an official quarantine on Michael Avenatti from the press?
I hope so.
Because there was a long time in which could do was touch him.
All they
could do was stick their tongue in his mouth.
Yes.
And now...
And then some.
They seemingly have discovered maybe this guy is a fraud.
What?
What?
Where did that come from?
And it's interesting because now he had the stretch of he was the exalted one. Mm-hmm. Michael Avenatti was the savior of our planet and our country. Then he went into a phase where this seems a little weird. What's going on with this guy? And he wasn't on as much, and they wouldn't really book him. And now he's been convicted, and he is going to go to prison over this whole Nike shakedown thing he attempted. Which, you know, it's interesting because looking back, Avenatti, no matter what side you're looking at, you could look at Avenatti as the bad guy. I mean, because if you are a person who likes Trump, Avenatti's taking these unfair shots at Trump. If you're a person who likes Stormy Daniels and you don't like Trump, I mean, Avenatti seemingly screwed over Stormy Daniels too.
Mm-hmm. Like, she says so.
Yeah, she says so. And it now it's hard to feel bad for her or honestly anybody involved in this at this point. It's just a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's like he seemingly tried to take advantage of every single person he interacted with. And it was a lot of people. And he was basically presented as a one-man wrecking crew to take down this evil Trump administration. And he was going to do it. If he wasn't going to do it through this case, he was going to do it by running for president and winning.
Yeah.
Listen to this. This is an incredible montage. Washington Free Beacon put this together. Listen to some of just how much they loved this man. If we all could find a relationship where we were loved as much as the media loved Michael Avenatti, we would all be happy. We'd be thrilled with life. Here is the montage of Michael Avenatti in the mainstream press.
He's Donald Trump's worst nightmare, Michael Avenatti.
Joining us once again is Michael Avenatti.
Let's bring in Michael Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti, thank you very much.
He's out there saving the country.
Don Meacham says he may be the savior of the republic.
You are something of a folk hero now.
I owe Michael Avenatti an apology. I've been saying enough already, Michael. I've seen you everywhere. What do you have left to say? I was wrong, brother. You have a lot to say.
I am just dying to hear what you think.
These people all like you.
I'm the only person right here Donald Trump fears more than Robert Miller.
We think you guys are the tip of the spear that's going to take down Donald Trump.
Michael Avenatti's a beast.
Okay, that's true.
And
he's a beast.
He's a beast.
I hand it to her, and I hand it to Michael Avenatti.
But he has a great, bigger calling here, that being a lawyer is minimal compared to what he's doing.
No one has talked tougher directly to Donald Trump on TV than Michael Avenatti, and Donald Trump is afraid to mention his name.
That's fascinating.
Donald Trump is terrified of Michael Avenatti.
He gives Trump a run for his money more than anybody else, Michael Avenatti.
An existential threat to the Trump presidency.
The Democrats could learn something for you. You are messing with Trump a lot more than they are.
He has no doubt created sheer panic in Donald Trump's very fragile mind.
Michael Avenatti is laying down the law as guest co-host. And is he really thinking about running for president?
One reason why I'm taking you seriously as a contender is because of your presence on cable news.
You look at the field of Democrats right now, and Avenatti's the one who stands out.
If they decide they value a fighter most, people would be foolish to underestimate Michael Avenatti.
I have always said that they need a fighter.
Look, I mean, we're going to continue to use the media. I think we've used it with great success.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
Oh, I love it.
That's incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
Just a sampling of how much they absolutely gave this man, adored him,
who essentially walked off the street as a no-name with an accusation against the president of the United States. And they treated him as if he was the ultimate truth teller.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Put him on every show, treated him seriously, took his claims seriously, acted as if he was making progress. When, you know, what do you think Trump was panicked about? Michael Avenatti was laughing about it. I mean, think about this. Take a step back from how you feel about the Trump issue here with Avenatti and Stormy Daniels and all of that. Let's just say all of it is true,
mm-hmm.
and Trump really acted poorly, and he was a terrible guy, and he should be impeached for that. What a terrible disservice to those claims to have Michael Avenatti involved in them. And one of the reasons why it's easy to dismiss all of these claims is because Michael Avenatti is the one bringing them to you. How could you possibly believe this man? Anything he says, you have to assume is a lie. And then he steps down from this whole thing where he gets all this media attention and starts shaking down Nike for tens of millions of dollars, which is not a good move.
No, he's going to pay for that with a little prison term, apparently.
It almost seems like, Pat, he got to a point in his life where he was like, look, I'm really in debt. I got nothing going on. I'm not going to be able to make this work. What if I just go media crazy and try to make it into a big deal, and then maybe the attention will drive more cash and I can pass it, almost like a Ponzi scheme. Like I can pay off all my old stuff with all this new stuff. I mean, it's at least possible.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.